Well, it finally came out. It's officially no longer the most anticipated movie of all time.
Now it's the most anticipated.
Anticipated. Yep. It is. It's finally here. It's officially the fastest growing, or the fastest grossing movie to $1 billion ever.
It's absolutely incredible.
And it took four
days. So here's the thing about that. So it's this weird thing with movies, because in like 1997, Titanic's breaking all these records, right? And you're passing Titanic. But in 1997, the average movie ticket was $5.50, which now is like laughable. The popcorn's not that much. And so what I think, because, you know, it's 15 years from now, there'll be some sort of, I don't know, either Star Wars reboot or some sort of, I don't know, movie.
Right.
And that'll make the most money ever. But what I believe, and here's my bold prediction, is as far as being in theaters, right, for that original run, not how, like, Casablanca has been put back into theaters for literally 70 years,
so,
right?
So there's two lists. There's two lists. There's the all-time box office, which does not account for inflation. And then there is the adjusted for inflation.
Okay, because what I'm going to say is that Infinity, the Endgame, will sell the most tickets to any movie in its... Because, again, don't give me... Gone with the Wind, because Gone with the Wind has been put into theaters for, without exaggeration, 70 years.
Well, there's also the thing with Gone with the Wind, that was it, right? You couldn't, when you went to the movies in 1939, you went to see Gone with the Wind. You did not see anything else, whereas while Avengers Endgame is the most anticipated movie of all time, and everybody saw it, and you still can't see it for like another 2 weeks if you don't already have a ticket.
It's crazy, right?
You can still go see Shazam, Us, Captain Marvel.
Yep.
You know, there are other options to see it. So I always find that to be a little annoying, just because, you know, like I said, in 1937, that was it. That was the movie. You couldn't see anything else. Adjusted for inflation, right? Gone with the Wind is $1,822,598,200.
200 minutes.
And basically, that the Avengers Endgame is on pace to beat that. It's already at $1.3 billion.
It hasn't been out a week yet.
And it hasn't even been out a week yet. Yeah. So by the time this movie wraps up its original run,
probably
in
like
theaters,
a 2 month theater run, probably.
It might hit 2 billion. It might.
Uh huh. Yep. And I remember The Dark Knight being thrilled to kind of wrap up as a $1 billion movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember, and that was, what, 11 years ago?
Yep.
And The Dark Knight was just, like I said, it was like, yeah, this movie, can you believe it? This movie made $1 billion. It was in theaters for like 5-6 weeks. I was like, whoa. And now it's like, yeah, this movie made its budget back the minute it came out. The minute.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It probably made its money back, because the budget of this movie was $356 million.
I'm pretty sure that they announced that it was like $350 or $400 million in pre-sales.
Yes.
Yeah. The budget was $220.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they did fine.
Budget was $3 million. $300 million,
sorry. It crashed
I heard $220, but that's whatever. Yeah, and so we'll talk about it. So just so you know, this will be a spoiler environment. We're not going free. This is for people that have watched the movie and are waiting for people to talk about people who have watched the movie. So we're going to watch the movie. We watched the movie. You watched the movie. Now we're going to talk about it like you watched the movie. So, yeah. Avengers! And thank you so much for joining us on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. We are branching out, as we've been talking about, and talking about the things that you are out there talking about. And right now, the most buzzworthy topic, entertainment, genre, film, TV, pen pal, Redder. Anything coming your way, everybody's talking about Endgame, the biggest movie, at least of the year, and without exaggeration, this is like without hyperbole.
Yep.
One of the biggest movies ever. Here's my opening statement. It's brief, and then I'll throw it out to the two of you. What Endgame did was cap off, and these are statements I've thought about, right? Yep. I went to the same film school as you, for whatever the hell that's worth, right? I think I know a little thing or two about movies. So whatever my opinion's worth, I think that what Endgame did was cap off the fact that what I'm going to do is just isolate the Avengers movies, because it's almost not fair for what I'm about to say to lump 22 movies in. So I'm just going to go with the four Avengers movies and tell you that those four movies are the best catalog of movies ever. They are better than the three Godfathers. They are better than the what will wind up being the nine Star Wars is. And it's the only thing comparable because it's 22 of those. What is it? Nine main chapters. We're up to like 11-ish Star Wars movies.
The only thing close is James Bond.
Sure, something like that. It is, and that's, and if now if I get to expand that whole way to like a James Bond level, a Mission Impossible level, it is better than those.
Yeah.
And what I will also say, and I mean this with all my heart and soul, and I've thought about it, Thanos has surpassed Darth Vader as cinema's greatest villain. He is more complicated. He is more interesting.
Yep.
He is actually more badass. We all in our heads have falsely written that the on-screen Darth Vader is the Rogue One Darth Vader.
Yes, that
when
is
he's,
accurate.
When he's really not.
No, he's not. He is Frankenstein.
Go back and watch that fight scene with Obi-Wan Kenobi and tell me how bad that is.
He's much more Jason Voorhees, just sort of scarily stalking you.
Than he is actually a badass. I wholeheartedly agree with Thanos as Vader. I think that this set the end game to me has done something that I don't think they maybe intended, or maybe Kevin Feige is the smartest man on the planet, and basically took us through a television show on the big screen, right? All 22 movies, and we'll get, you know, and I have specific reference points, but everything, there is something in every single one of those movies, all 21 of them leading up to Avengers Endgame, that it meant something. There was a moment or a line or a reference. Something was referenced from all of those movies. And it was as if I was watching a season finale of my favorite television show.
Yeah. Because that thing was action-packed with little Easter eggs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? From, like, the idea that, like, you know, and they've been building the things, like, brilliantly building to things. Like, if you watch Age of Ultron, right, you have to want to, you have to, like, watch for it. But there's that great scene where they're all trying to budge Mjolnir, right? And none of them can do it, right? Yep. And then Captain America comes up, and he just grabs it, and there's that slightest, right? And then he, you know, pulls, and he thinks nothing of it, and nervous Thor just goes, nothing, you didn't get nothing, you know what I mean? Because he's like, holy shit. The hammer thought about it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then there's a payoff to that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? There's a
payoff. Even the one that's even the simplest, and you have to have watched Ant-Man and the Wasp. The Wasp shows up and goes, yeah, Cap, and then just looks at Ant-Man and just winks. And it's like, well, if you didn't see Ant-Man and the Wasp, you wouldn't know that she was giving him shit, because in that entire movie, she's giving him shit for being like, yeah, Cap.
Captain America fanboy.
You're a Captain America fanboy the entire time. Yep. And so it's like, oh, man, like those little moments.
It also made you feel, if you had gone throughout, like the beauty of these movies really in general was kind of encapsulated in Endgame, which is if you didn't see all 22 movies, there's no reason why you can't have a good time. Now, what I would imagine is, you should do yourself the favor to at least see the Avengers movies.
Yeah.
But the point being that if you just plopped yourself down and watched Avengers Endgame, you'd have yourself a good time.
Right.
But if you have done the work and put in the other 21 movies going in, there is just all these little rewarding things.
I can tell you from personal experience, when I saw Infinity War last year, I had only seen four of the Marvel movies going into that.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the hell out of Infinity War.
Right.
But since then, in the last 2 or 3 months, I've gone through and watched every single movie except for Thor Dark World, because I was told that you don't really need to.
And somehow this movie makes Thor the Dark World important?
Right,
It's like, are you for fucking real?
Yeah, because you know what that is? Is that what that is a conscious effort to make every character you've invested in get their moment. Now, don't get me wrong. Do I believe that, like, Doctor Strange had a great moment of retribution the way Thor did. No, but Doctor Strange isn't done yet. There will be a Doctor Strange 2.
Correct.
Yeah.
There will be no more Thor movies. He will be in Guardians of the Guardians of the
Guardians of the Galaxy.
That one. That I believe we're doing.
Yeah. Is that a thing?
Yeah, they'll do that.
He also pitched Thor 3.
Yeah, there is a Thor 3. Ragnarok is 3.
The 4. Sorry.
See, I don't think they're going to make that movie.
Maybe. Whether or not they make it is irrelevant.
I don't think
he's pitched it.
I don't think, and I'll bet you $10 they don't make another Iron Man movie, but I just don't think they're making Captain America. I don't think they're going to make a prequel side story. No,
there's going to be, the only one that's going to have any sort of like backpedaling is going to be the Black Widow movie, because I have a feeling that that's just going to do Budapest.
Right, yeah.
Because that's the only thing that we haven't paid off. Because
the only other thing is some sort of like new original story where the Hulk goes through time looking for her.
Yeah.
It would have to be something like that, because what they've clearly decided to do, you know, Ragnarok is, you know, case in point, is since Edward Norton, what I think Marvel decided to do, and you really pick up from Iron Man, which is after Edward Norton's Hulk, right?
No, the Hulk's after, but because Tony Stark shows up at the end of
Hulk. Because they get
the point is that they acknowledge that it happened and that those events happened, but they don't pick up any of those storylines.
Yeah, no, like the idea that and you are right, that's how it worked. But what I'm saying is, what I think they made a conscious effort is with the Hulk.
Yeah.
He will be this incredible supporting character.
Yes, no more
Hulk movies.
Yeah, and I think Thor's going to be more the same, where it's like, I'm going to be in other things, but I'm not going to have necessarily my own movie anymore.
I agree. I think the original guys, the big three, were Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor for them.
Right.
And they are done having standalone projects.
Yeah.
And, but they all got their moment. So, you know, we've been talking with Jamie and texting with Jamie and talking to him a lot about this.
Right.
And he's been texting us before the movie, and he goes, Captain America is going to die. Captain America is going to die. And I go, Jamie, Iron Man's going to die. Watch the story. Iron Man has had this burden of guilt. When he first got introduced to the character, he was the weapons dealer, right? He was making the most devastating weapons in the world. He got guilt-stricken by that and wanted to do something to kind of like reverse the karma, right? In Civil War, that woman that comes up to him and goes, my son's dead because of you, and all this stuff that you've done, all the Avengers have done, isn't worth it. He's guilt-stricken, wants to make right his wrongs, right?
Yep.
He blames himself for for Peter Parker's,
getting his surrogate son.
Right, and needs to right that wrong. And so Iron Man, the guy that got us from the beginning, righted the wrong and dies with a clean conscience, and you know what I mean? And, like, saved the universe, you know what I mean, at the end of this thing. So Iron Man gets his retribution. Captain America gets to dance with Peg. Thor gets to say goodbye to his mother and have peace, you know what I mean, that they didn't get before. They did just an amazing job of getting everybody that I think is done wrapped up super well.
So everybody except for... Yeah, and they did it in a way which I like, because you replaced Captain America, right? So this is where I get nerdy, right? But in the comic books, there is a very recently, I think it was only like 5 or 6 years old, Steve Rogers, basically the super soldier serum wore off and shriveled up into a 90-year-old man. And so it was like, oh, I can't be Captain America anymore. So Sam Wilson, the Falcon, ends up becoming that Captain America. And so he was Captain America for a while. Now, we all know that Disney Plus, that's coming. That's a big thing. And there is going to be a miniseries or actual television series with Sam Wilson and Bucky. They're going to have their own show, and so that's going to be the new adventures of Captain America. But at the same time, you've still kind of opened the door, because this time travel stuff is so convoluted and weird and nonsensical, that you could potentially bring Captain America back at any moment.
There's also potential... I mean, you have, even if they're more made for Disney Plus content than theatrical releases, you do have, in theory... You need to go back to where you found these stones and return them, don't you, something like that?
Yep.
And there's all that stuff. And I mean, again, there's
which I'm gonna jump right in on that one. What happens when he gets to Vormir?
I don't know. I don't know what happens, because Loki is alive in a timeline.
Right. And so he's getting in his own thing. So I think we're going to wrap that up there. But when Captain America shows up to return the Soul Stone to Vormir, the Red Skull's just hanging out.
Can I have my Parks and Rec filibuster moment?
Sure.
So what we need to do is we need to have Disney purchase Saban. Right, because here's what we find. Right, do you know why there was all of a sudden a surge in power in 1994 California? Because that's when Captain Marvel crashed in 1994 California.
Yep,
sparking the power surge that led to the Power Rangers, the Rangers that protect the power. They've been protecting the Power Stone the entire time. They are Earth's guardians of the Power Stone, and they can help the Avengers with the Ninja Turtles somehow. I don't know about them. How do
you had me until the last second.
But still,
I was on board.
The Power Rangers have been protecting the Power Stone, and that's why they have pieces of the Power Stone to morph.
We talk about, and they are crystals. But
we talk about
how Darth Vader is a figment of fans' imaginations.
Yeah.
So up until literally like 4 years ago with these comics, so of Power Rangers,
I need Disney to buy it.
But then They started Boom Studios started releasing the comic books, and Lord Draken is awesome.
Yeah, the best. Like it's like, what if the Green Ranger and the White Ranger got together and were super bad? Like a super bad
super
guy.
Super evil.
Yeah, like really.
Like
bad.
He was like so evil he basically killed Rita. But that would be fun. That would be a fun movie.
Yeah, the Power Rangers have been protecting the Power Stone the whole time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
That makes sense. This movie was perfect. From the marketing material, the fact that basically the entirety of the marketing material outside of like one or two shots takes place in the first 20 minutes of this movie.
Oh, I mean,
you know, like I didn't realize how much this movie, like you start the movie and then everybody's just all together and it's like, well, let's go kill Thanos. And you're like, okay, cool. I can't wait for them to try and kill Thanos and have that not work. And then they just show up. Captain Marvel comes in and just beats the bag out of him and puts him in a chokehold.
Right.
And then Thor cuts off his arm and you're like, fuck.
I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people were like me that were like, okay, so the first 15 minutes were exactly how I pictured the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, right.
So now and I'm such a nerd that I sat back and I wanted to poke Bill, who would not have gotten it, you know what I mean? Because he's a normal person. But I'm sitting there going, okay, so here's the swerve. Because what they've done very strategically was, like, right away, they have lied to me. The trailer made it seem like they were wearing spacesuits to go find Iron Man. No, Iron Man got resolved immediately, right?
Right.
So what this actually is everything's a swerve. So I go, okay, I don't know what to expect, right? Everything's a swerve. You know who the bad guy is going to be here is Galactus. The universe is vulnerable. The universe is most vulnerable. The Avengers have been halved. And now Galactus is going to come. And this movie is going to be out of control.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not telling you I was disappointed by that. I'm glad the way it worked out. But the fact that they kept me guessing the entire time is incredible. Because it wound up being about killing Thanos. But there was a significant chunk of the movie where I was like, this isn't even about killing Thanos.
Yeah, right.
What is this movie about?
Right.
Now, let me butt you a little bit, and I'll be the guy, because Jamie, when we text with Jamie, I could tell he wants to, like, strangle me through the phone, even though I have no problem saying this out loud. I don't think it's perfect, Endgame, and here's my hot take, okay? I have to see it again.
Yep.
I want to watch it again, because I've seen Infinity War, like, 3 or 4 times. I think Infinity War might be better than Endgame.
I think that the ending grips you better in Endgame.
I think beginning to end, Infinity War is a better movie than Endgame is. And Endgame has these highs that you can't expect from Infinity War, because Infinity War is not the payoff movie.
Right, exactly. So I think that Endgame, like I said, is the resolution to... It's the resolution to a season or a series, right? Because they're not done. So... we're gonna roll into more.
Yeah.
So we're not done. But having Infinity War, like, basically, you haven't watched any of Game of Thrones, right?
I do not.
Yeah. So Game of Thrones, like, famously, their seasons are laid out so that the big wow, holy shit moment is in the second to last episode, not the last episode, right? So they don't
like
traditionally,
the red wedding.
Right, that's in the second to last episode, not the last episode of that season.
Okay.
Right? And so that's kind of how this all felt, where it was Infinity War, the whole shit, we lost, everybody's decimated half, comes in the second to last episode of the season, whereas this, we resolve everything. And this had a finality to it, which I think is bananas, because technically Phase 3 doesn't end till Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there. But there was a finality to this movie that gave you different feels than Infinity War did.
Right. And I think you would agree, it's just... It's hard to expect that. It's like,
yeah,
this is the Infinity War is this unbelievable setup to the payoff, right, which is what Endgame is. And so, yeah, those, like, yeah, of course, Infinity War could never deliver that moment where Doctor Strange brings everybody back through his time portals, right? Because that's a finale moment. That's a final act of the final act moment, right?
Right.
And so, but what I would just tell you is, so, like, okay, let me just, again, throw this out there. Endgame is one of my favorite movies ever.
Right.
It caps off my favorite franchise ever. I'm about to spend, like, $250 on every single pop they have. You know what I mean? Look at this stupid thing. Right? I love it. I loved the movie. Love it. I am not telling you not to love it.
Right.
I am not, but for the sake of not just being two guys gushing about it, and I'll kind of throw something at you, I thought it tried a little too hard to be funny, and my complaint, because there was just so many people that played the comic relief, and I just thought it tried to, like Dr. Hulk is funny, Thor is funny, the raccoon is funny, Ant-Man's funny, Spider-Man's funny, everybody's funny.
Right.
But the big, my complaint that I'll throw out at you that I'd love to hear your opinion on is, I wish Thor had got his act together, like, literally an hour before he did, when he got hit by the lightning and didn't trim down and just sort of, like, get it together. Like, you're the God of Thunder. It's funny you're having a nervous breakdown, I guess, but, like, get it together. And the fact that he couldn't pull it together for me, I will admit, it started to get annoying to me.
So now, physically or emotionally?
Like, the God of Thunder being a weepy mess. Like, I get that they didn't want Thor to be Batman and just be brooding and silent in the corner.
Right.
They wanted to do something different. But again, in a movie where there was so much comic relief, I think, really, I mean, you took Thor, like, down a peg. Because that dude went from, like, I'm the strongest Avenger to, like, crying in multiple scenes,
right,
never losing the weight, and just being like, wow, Thor really fell apart.
So Thor's character arc, to me, I actually loved, because you're talking about a man who believes wholeheartedly that everything is his fault because he didn't go for the head. Right?
Sure, yeah.
And so then he is so devastated by the fact that he couldn't be the hero that everybody expects him to be that he just lost it.
Yep.
Right? And so he shuts himself in. Physically, he developed, like, the physical, like, Lebowski-esque version of him is the physical manifestation of his post-traumatic stress or guilt. And
absolutely.
And so
absolutely,
it's not until he gets closure with his mother that he never got that he really kind of starts to pull it together.
As lame as this sounds, if he had got struck by that lightning and was jacked, that would have made me happy.
Yeah.
There's just something about the fact that that movie ends with him fat and goofy.
Yeah.
The movie ends with him on the ship,
right,
fat and goofy. And it's like, you're Thor. You know what I mean? Like,
But
you're in the Guardians of the Galaxy. We have all the funny people we need.
Right.
It's not like, you know what? The Guardians have been missing some humor.
Right.
That's not.
No, but at the same time, I actually appreciate that he didn't just get struck by lightning and is now just, like, super jacked and cut.
He's the god of thunder.
Yeah, I think that that's not what they were going for, and I appreciate that they didn't just do that, right? Because he did man up, right? There was a physical manifestation of the attitude change when the lightning does strike him and his beard gets braided, and he becomes more clean-cut and in the suit. Yeah.
And he was never a pussy.
Right. Right. Right, but that's kind of the physical representation that I'm okay with because, he spent all of this time dealing with that, and this is the beginning of him now, because it goes...
And you're 100% right. What they clearly tried to do is he goes, oh my God, I'm the hero. Because there's even that part where it's Tony and then the Hulk winds up snapping, right? And Thor's like crying. Like that would have been an okay cry for me where he's like crying like, let me do this. Like,
right.
Even if I die, it felt like, you ever see Forrest Gump?
Right.
It felt like Lieutenant Dan, where he's like, no, let me die in the jungle. I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah.
I'd rather die here than just be some guy at home.
You know?
And so I got Thor being like, you got to let me do this. I get that. My whole thing is just like, he just fell to pieces.
Right.
And again, I understand that they're like, we're not DC and he's not going to be Batman. He's not going to, have no lines and be quiet and shadowy.
Right.
But I do think, I got to admit, I think there's a middle ground because he just never snapped out of it. You're Thor.
Oh, I thought he snapped out of it at the end.
In the battle.
He snapped out of it, everything but physically.
Yeah.
Right, but that's the thing is that he was never ducking combat. He was never afraid, so I don't think he snapped out of it because he was never afraid.
Well, because it all comes like the announcement or the exposition after the fact with Valkyrie, where he's like, look, you're going to be the king of Asgard because that's not who I am, and I need to go be who I am. And I think that him getting on with the Guardians to go off to space to do adventures is more of who he wants to be. Now, I don't know how much time is going to be between, Endgame and Guardians 3, but yeah, he's got enough time to slim down.
Right. No,
you know
right,
what I mean?
No, right. Right.
But the character had a full circle moment where he's like, yeah, man, I had to let this go because I was carrying around that I believed that everybody believed that I needed to be the savior of the universe, and it was okay that I wasn't, and I still helped.
There's like no argument that it adds an awesome layer of depth to him to be able to be like, maybe I don't have to be the chosen king and protector of all man and slaughter 1,000 folks a day.
Right.
I liked the moment we got, like, the payoff moment, like, they show, like, basically Valkyrie's like, yeah, look, there's all his empty kegs because he's just a mess, right?
Right.
And then to bring back Mike and the rock guy, right? Yeah. And, like, I liked it. I thought it was funny for what it was. I'm not taking that away. I just, if I have to throw a constructive criticism out there about this movie, I really did kind of wanted Thor to, I got to just like I said, pull it together, man. Like you are Thor and you really unraveled for me. You know what I mean? Like everybody went through their shit and Thor became a cartoon. That was my yeah, butt with it. You know what I mean? Because I get why we needed to make Hulk have a personality and be funny. Like I'm not even going to, be picky because the moment, one moment I didn't get as a fan that I wrote in my head was I didn't get Hulk smash. I really, really wanted to see Hulk versus Thanos fight,
the part in New York where he starts throwing
that
stuff.
Was so but damn that's funny. So funny. And the fact that they were like, look, we've done Hulk smash. This is where we think we need to go. Dr. Hulk is a real Marvel character and not, that's a real progression of Bruce Banner. And so like, I'm not going to do some stupid thing where I go like, well, I didn't get the moment I wrote in my head. So this movie was bad. Not at all. And this movie is an A+.
Right.
If I have to admit, I think that I'm just going to be honest with you. Cause I think it's okay to tell you Endgame's not perfect.
Yeah.
I think they betrayed the character of Thor a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. If we're going like technically, yeah, I do. I think so. But I like the character they wrote. I don't like that Captain America, the way his arc ended. I would have much rather them just toss him into time and have that be an issue than I went back in time and like...
See, I'm okay with that because Chris Evans has said I'm out.
See, I'm not okay with that because I don't want real actor shit to influence this movie in a way that...
They're not going to recast these characters.
Yeah, but...
It's just not going to happen.
But the issue that I have is so what you're telling me is that Steve Rogers, right, literal Captain America, goes back in time to what I assume is after he crashes the plane, right? He knocks on Peggy's door and he's standing there. And he goes, look, this is what the deal is. I'm from the future. I'm frozen in ice in the North Pole. In 70 years, I'm going to be unfrozen, right? And this is all of the stuff that's going to happen. And as Captain America, I am going to sit and watch all of it happen. And I think that that's more of a betrayal of the character.
I've never really thought about that. Because that's interesting.
So you're telling me that Steve Rogers, literal Captain America, is going to sit there and just allow the Battle of New York to happen. Like, not give anybody a heads up that, like, hey, just so you know, you probably want to stop messing with that thing because Loki and all this other stuff. Or, hey, Tony, maybe you and Bruce should stop working on this robot because it's going to become a big thing and he's going to be a nonsense. Or, I don't know, hey, maybe I'll stop Bucky from blowing up that embassy.
Can you like throw a lazy blanket over it and say that he knew from Doctor Strange that this is the only way this works out, that Thanos was always going to come and this was the only way this works out? Is that like a lazy blanket we could throw over it?
No, because the way that the Ancient One kind of all lays everything out when she's talking to Banner says that, first of all, it doesn't make sense comparatively to what she was talking about, where it's like, it's not Back to the Future, right? Where,
oh yeah, right.
You don't change this one thing and your reality is different. It splits off from that reality. And now whoever, you know, the Captain America that he choked out after the Battle of New York now lives in this timeline and is not the same Captain America that choked him out. It's not a loop. It's a weird, like, Terminator rules.
Right.
And
it is Terminator.
It's more Terminator rules than it is Back to the Future rules.
I like Endgame's time travel rules.
Right. It was good. Well, because it made sense. But the problem is,
it's like, you're going to a place. You're not reversing your physical anatomy to that person.
Yes. Your time is still your time, and you've just fractured the timeline. And again, that goes back to my thing where it's just like, yeah, Captain America sat and watched a bunch of shit happen. And that's more of a betrayal to the character than Thor being kind of goofy and Big Lebowski.
That is something I legitimately put note. I had not considered that whatsoever. That's a very interesting point. Honestly, that's a very smart point. I didn't think about that. And I know you're a big Captain America fan. And that's interesting because you're right. It's like, in theory, he's like, yeah, I did allow 9/11, but I got to dance with Peg.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because this is how it all had to work out. And again, I would imagine if Marvel, you ask them, they throw that lazy blanket that it's like, this is the only timeline. But it's like, yeah, but...
But Thanos had already happened.
Right.
So again, it goes back to the thing where it's like, yeah, this timeline already would have happened and everything's okay now. So no matter what you do, this is how it all shapes out.
Because that is our Captain America that went back in, right?
Yeah, so basically what happened was everything that needed to happen to have them succeed that Doctor Strange told, that was in like this chunk, right? And so then it ends, and they stopped Thanos, and everybody came back. Now, from whatever happens after, Doctor Strange didn't see.
Right.
Because he saw the end of the end game.
Right.
Right? And so he saw the defeat of Thanos. And it's irrelevant what Steve does after this.
Why do you think that was the only way? Why do you think giving him the time stone was the only way? Why do you think the answer wasn't just hiding all the stones always from him and doing everything possible to keep them away?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because he was just always going to find them.
I guess.
And kill everybody till he did.
Yeah, he was just going to kill half the universe till he either killed half the universe or found the stones.
Here's an interesting point. What do you think about the Infinity Stones? And Bill, you as well. Phil, you're
yeah, big, for sure.
What do you think about the Infinity Stones having what I'm going to dub genie rules.
Yeah.
That if you're dead, you're dead.
So the problem, so again, I want to know why the Soul Stone's the only one that requires really something, right? So that's the weird one, is that the Soul Stone is the only one that's like, yeah, I need a soul in order to give you me.
Yeah.
And then...
Where the other ones, you can just grab it.
And the other ones, you can just grab it.
My theory is that the Soul Stones, right there, the Soul Stones are almost... I've always thought them to be the Infinity Stones, not the Soul Stones. The Infinity Stones... I've always imagined them to be a, is euphemism the right word? I don't know, an analogy for the Big Bang Theory, right? So there was this collective of energy, and then they split, and they're all important, and they're all of equal energy sources, right? And they're supposed to be basically suns with their own independent, you know, galaxies and stuff like that, right? And so what I've thought is they are a collective, like literally... energy, the disbursement of energy through the universe. And so the energy of thought, the energy of power, the energy of mind, right? You know, right? Of space itself.
Yeah.
And so with this Soul Stone, if you get the Soul Stone, it is literally the energy that is part the
of life.
Of soul.
Yeah.
And it needs to come from somewhere. I can harness space. I can harness time. I can't harness your soul without taking it.
Yeah, right.
And so I need one.
Yeah.
What I got out.
I think that you're right. That's the best representation of it, and
because they're energy based, it was there was such an overwhelming mass of energy that every compound that comprised the universe split into pieces,
right? And so the thing that I find to be interesting is, again, how does Captain America return that, and does he get Natasha back,
right? Because all the timelines are so messed up, and we you know, Doctor Strange's entire involvement in this movie is to be like, time is important.
So my belief is that we're going to get a little bit of a time reset. I don't think like people are going to come back from the dead, like at least like the two big ones. I don't think Cap and Tony are coming back.
No, or Black Widow.
But maybe.
You think so?
I think so. She's getting her own movie. But the point is that Doctor Strange, I think, is going to kind of hit a soft reset, because there's a very, very big... what about this moment where Peter Parker comes back and him and his classmates show up at school. And so half of that school is like 20 now.
They've graduated.
Right. So how do we live in that world? And now it doesn't necessarily matter for like a lot of the characters, because they're adults. You know what I mean? Like when Bruce Banner, it's 5 years later. It's like, and let's just say Betsy Ross shows up. You know, it's just like, yeah, we're still adults. Yeah, maybe I'm 5 years older, but whatever, because we're adults and we still both have to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, but like, yeah, Peter Parker, like what happens? And I know this isn't the case because she's in it, but it's like, so... You're telling me that everybody that's important in Peter Parker's life got snapped?
Right.
Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Because like Ned and
probably Aunt
Flash
May.
And Aunt May.
Probably Aunt May.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like everybody is just so we can do this, and we're just not going to talk about the fact that that's super convenient.
Yep.
That's kind of annoying.
I think there is a small chance, because she is played by a woman in her 40s, that Aunt May wasn't snapped. I think there is a chance.
Oh, yeah.
There's a chance of that. We'll see in Homecoming.
I would like for...
But yeah, Ned definitely was.
Yeah, Ned definitely was.
Ned's still 15 or whatever the hell it's supposed to be.
And so, so I find that to be annoying.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I would like... I thought that Tony's...
It's funny that there's there's school Monday.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's school Monday.
That's funny to me. I'm not trying to like put down an amazing movie.
Yeah.
I just think that like you're going to hear a lot of people on the internet be like, it was perfect, it was incredible,
That's my problem. Those are my two problems. My two problems are the age difference, because I do think that if, you know, like again, backseat driver, Monday morning quarterback on this, I felt like Tony needed to make the choice, because ultimately it came down to two people. It came down to his surrogate son, Peter Parker, or his actual daughter.
Right.
And it felt like he needed to make the choice as to like, do I reset time completely to bring us all back to the moment where basically Thor gets the chance to go for the head, or do I just bring everybody back and it is what it is? And
do you get the impression that that was a realistic option? Because Hulk had time to think about it and didn't do that.
Yeah, because
there's two snaps. Hulk snapped.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
To bring everybody back.
Right.
And basically his main prerogative was, let's see what I can do my best to get Natasha back.
Yeah, right.
Natasha? Natasha. And you can't do it. I just think it's just an interesting footnote that it's like Gamora. Like, if you watch the funeral of Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Gamora, Vision, and Black Widow are dead.
Yes, they're dead.
They're dead.
Well, and they even talk about it. Scarlet Witch and Hawkeye. They talk about it, where it's like, oh, they're super happy out there somewhere because they know we won. You know what I mean? So they talk about it, that they're dead. Now, who knows if this new Gamora is alive? Like, that's a question.
Well,
like,
there's 2012 Gamora.
Yeah, that's the new Gamora.
Pre-Star-Lord Gamora.
So now, is that a Gamora that's still alive, or did she get dusted with the rest of Thanos' army?
I would imagine she didn't.
Yeah.
I don't think she did. I think that... You know, as conscious as Stark could be about it, it was basically just, you know, like, take out the bad guys. You know
yeah, I mean? Kind right.
Of, wasn't she technically a bad She's guy technically at that a point, bad though? Guy.
She had come around. She shot a soldier of Thanos to save Star-Lord.
No, she definitely did
she
do
that.
She
came around.
She definitely did that. But does Tony know who she is?
To be able to control
To be able to control that. Know what I mean? Because it's like, if everybody's an army of Thanos, yeah, you Green Lady, you're definitely...
Let me lazy Marvel blanket for fine. You. What Tony Stark thought in his head was, kill all those who follow Thanos.
Yes,
and she doesn't
and she
anymore.
Doesn't,
anymore.
Right.
She doesn't anymore.
Yeah, right.
That's how we do that. Because it's your thoughts.
Yeah.
It's whatever you think.
So the Avengers Assemble moment, let's just talk about that.
Hell yeah.
Because the frame right before that is a frame I want blown up and put on my wall, where it's Captain America standing there against Thanos and the army of Thanos.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's one of the most beautiful shots in film I've ever seen.
Yep.
And it's absolutely beautiful. Also accompanied by, again, now this is the thing, right? If you haven't seen all of the movies, then this is just like whatever. But if you have, this is an awesome moment where Falcon calls in on your left.
Yeah.
Because in Winter Soldier, that Captain America kept lapping them while they were out for their morning run, and he kept going on your left as he kept passing them. So it's like, oh, that's a pretty epic fucking line.
There's like little things too. Like Bill and I were watching this the other day, like Iron Man came on, and it's like little, I'm a nerd, so I love this stuff. Little poetic things. The first line, the last line of the first movie in this whole series and of Iron Man's series is, I am Iron Man. It's a press conference.
Yep.
Movie ends with, I am Iron Man. His last line in his last movie is, I am Iron Man.
Yes.
It's his last line in the first movie. It's his last line in his last movie.
Right.
And he says, I am Iron Man.
Yeah.
And I've had a couple of people be like, why don't you think he gave him the finger? Because it looked like he was about to. You know what I mean? We had the iron gauntlet, and he looked like he was about to. And I really believe that those filmmakers, and rightfully so, think that is going to be like an all-time movie moment.
Yeah, don't ruin it.
Don't have the finger in there, so we got to like blur it or change it or alter it or tweak it.
Yeah, well, it also didn't need it.
It didn't need it. It would have been funny. Because the only reason I bring that up is they must have said shit 7 or 8 times. So the movie wasn't afraid to like do a middle finger thing.
Yeah.
But I just think they want that to live forever.
Right. I also just think it's that's a Star-Lord thing. Like, if you remember, he did that as he like jumped through a portal. He like gave him the finger and stuff. So that feels like more of a Star-Lord thing. Whereas that was the moment. And I'm glad that they didn't, because I felt it too.
I did
feel it, where it's just like, it does feel like you're going to give Thanos the finger
right now. Because you use your middle finger in a snap. So he could have just like started, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you could have started with one and then used, because your middle finger is part of it.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So it could have been, but you're right. It's good that they didn't. Just so Bill and I saw it together. We didn't get a chance to see it with you.
No.
Pops, like audible pops, like people popping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of the night were... just off the top of my head.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
Now, let me talk about that really quick. Do you agree with my theory that they're trying to redeem the comic book panel?
I saw somebody else say that other than us.
So, yeah, that's definitely
because,
what it was.
Because the Hail Hydra panel, because Bill didn't know about it.
I think it was like comicbook.com or Nerdist did it.
Didn't I say that when we left the theater?
Yeah, you did.
When we left the theater, Bill goes, that was cool as a payoff to the other movie. I go, see...
No.
There was this panel that drove the world insane, and they just saved that panel.
Yeah, so basically what ended up happening there was, I forget which stone it is, but it might have been, it was either the Reality or the Mind Stone, was in this comic book a couple years ago, was affecting, the Red Skull affected Captain America and implanted all of these memories in his head that he was actually a Hydra agent the whole time. And so, yeah, there was him where he just like, it's him on a spaceship, or not a spaceship, but on like a plane or something.
Right.
And,
yep.
And it's him looking at a guy after doing something like bananas, and he just goes, "Hail Hydra." And so that 100% was to pay off that.
And right,
it was 100%
because the world stopped when that happened, because it was like the almost it was almost like when DC killed Superman. It was like,
right,
what just happened? What are you doing? Like when back in the day in the 1800s, like literally, the guy who wrote the books, he killed off Sherlock Holmes, and then he basically got like death threats, and he wrote a book that was like, Sherlock Holmes faked his death. I meant it the whole time. Holy shit, relax.
Yeah, right.
And so that panel drove everybody crazy, and when he went Hail Hydra in a very similar setting to that panel, I was like, oh my god, they just paid off that they paid off the comic.
What was more amazing about that too is because, like you guys said, I didn't know about that. I don't read the comic books, so that to me in my brain
was
paid off when he's in Winter Soldier, when he's in the elevator, so he could just get out of there unscathed and not have to fight everybody.
Right. Yeah, because that shot for shot was almost the same setup to that elevator fight.
Right.
Just that phrasing, like that right there, just like Hail Hydra. To me, that was such an Easter egg for nerds.
Yeah. Well, and it was such a cool, like, that's such a cool way to get out of that moment.
Yep.
In such an interesting way, because, we could have, it was beautiful directing and writing in the fact that it's, okay, so we're going, much like a lot of what this movie did, we're going to go this way and then we're going to subvert your expectations and go someplace completely different, because everything looked like that was going to lead to the elevator fight scene again.
Right.
Yeah. And we were just going to do it there because all the people were there, and we were just going to do it there because it was so cool the first time. Let's just retread that too. And then it was, no, we're going to give this awesome moment that shocked fans in the comic book world and kind of helps fans that don't know about that at all.
It was terrific. So the pops, that was a big one. When Black Panther first showed up, because he was the first guy through the time portal. You heard Falcon first, but you saw Black Panther. Shuri, and I don't remember his sister's name.
Okoye.
There you go. Well done. And when they walked through, that was a pop. Spider-Man drew a huge pop. Star-Lord got a good one. Spider-Man drew a huge one.
So
Mjolnir being willed by Captain America was huge.
That was awesome. Zooming back to Thor, and he goes, I knew it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It was really cool in when everybody was kind of getting released, because, you know, for forever we were looking at having Ant-Man's friend kind of do a recap of everything.
Yeah.
And I felt like we were going to get one of two, and the one that we got, I rather have, where Peter Parker just finds Iron Man and was like, oh my god, remember when we were in space and I got all dusty, and then I woke up and it was like 5 minutes later, but you were gone and I didn't know where you were, and then Doctor Strange said, we gotta go. It's just like, and then Iron Man just hugs him and he's, oh, this is nice. And that right there was the perfect recap of Infinity War.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Right.
And so I'm kind of okay with the fact that we didn't get Luis just like running everything down.
Agreed. Something I want to bring up, because she took a tremendous amount of heat going into this movie. Part of me thinks it's because people don't. So part of me thinks it's because people got invested in these characters for so long and she just sort of showed up. And part of me thinks that it's men that are really insecure about their penises.
That's probably it.
And I mean it.
I don't even know what you're going to say, but I'm pretty sure it's the second one.
Weird guy paranoid about your unsatisfying dick. Because a lot of people were like, the only thing I want out of this movie is for Captain Marvel not to be in it, or Captain Marvel to die, or Captain Marvel to not be in it.
Oh, that's stupid. I thought she was...
They did it perfectly, because here's the thing about Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel, and you've said it and you're right, she's Superman, right? And the problem with Superman is you have to do what the Justice League did, which just goes, Superman can't be in 90% of this movie, because then we're not actually in any trouble, because we don't know how to create a problem that Superman can't solve.
Right.
And so with Captain Marvel, like, you saw what would happen if she was just around the whole time.
Right.
It would be, and I promise you, a boring movie much like Superman.
Right.
Because you'd be like, oh man, there's 100,000 of these things, we're outnumbered. And she'd be like, no problem, I'm pure energy, right?
Right.
Look at what she did when she finally showed up at the end.
She destroys the...
She was just a meteor that went through Thanos' ship two or three times, so it exploded, and she's like, yeah, I'm not afraid of you, and she's no-selling headbutts.
Right.
And if she was in the whole movie, that would have been the problem. That would have been the movie. And so, like, what she is, to me, here's another nerd reference you'll appreciate. She was the Megazord's power sword.
Yeah.
When that thing showed up, we were 3 minutes from credits, right?
Yeah, right.
But if we used it 5 minutes ago, we don't have a battle scene that's anywhere near compelling because it's just like, well, why didn't we use the nuke to kick off the war?
Yeah, right.
And so I thought a character that had been established as being unbelievably powerful, and when we needed her to be saving Tony Stark,
right,
destroying, you know, being a integral part of killing Thanos, I don't think she took anybody's thunder.
No.
She was used well. I really enjoyed... Now, did Captain Marvel come late to this party? Very late to this party. But I thought her infusion was cool.
I also thought that she wasn't as overpowered as everybody assumed she would be. Right? Because, like...
She didn't have a lot of weakness. She blew up... She crafted that ship. She no-sold Thanos.
Yeah, but even still, like, she no-sold the headbutt, but this fight was still a struggle. He's still strong enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It didn't feel like
he
Superman.
The best part with that was when she's getting the upper hand, and he just pulls out the Power Stone
and
to punch her with just that.
Right.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Right, and so you look at it, and it's just like, yeah... It wasn't Superman versus Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
Because Superman showed up and Steppenwolf might have just been like, oh, I'm fucked.
Yeah, right.
Whereas, like, Thanos was like, yeah, he figured out a way to fight her. And so, you know, maybe...
That was an awesome fight.
You know, maybe if he also wasn't preoccupied with trying to snap,
yeah,
then maybe it would have been a more fair fight.
Shout out to the Scarlet Witch.
Oh, she kicked some ass.
I thought that was a very nerd thing.
I thought she was going to go crazy during that whole thing.
I thought that was a very nerd thing for us that know who she is because for, again, normal people like Bill,
yeah,
the Scarlet Witch is Magneto's daughter.
Right.
And because the X-Men have just been void of these movies, that really hasn't been talked about a ton. And so I thought that was a very cool thing where what she did in particular in a very I'm Magneto's daughter kind of way is when she first saw him and raised him up, she used his own armor and was basically like crushing him with his own armor. And
yeah,
that's kind of
cool.
So Magneto to me.
It was really cool.
Because she can do anything, but that particular strategy of like, I'm going to crush you from the outside in, you know what I mean? I just thought was like super duper cool.
Yeah. I would have loved to. One thing that I would have loved is for if reality had been shifted and we just got an X-Men reference.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I just would have liked that.
Like, do you know how amazing an opportunity there would have been for just like them to like go through a portal and have like Deadpool walk by and say something funny and have them be like, we're not in the right place. Just Deadpool do something in that movie. How great it would be. But the thing about that movie is, as we wrap this up, because we could talk about it forever and ever and ever. But what I want to give the movie credit for, because I've said a lot of yeah buts, only because I do think that you're going to just see a lot of people, like I said, on the internet be like, it was perfect. Everybody shut up. It's not perfect.
Again,
but it's incredible. But you brought up some really great points, and I think I've got some legitimate concerns. But the point being here with this movie is the biggest compliment I can give it was I thought this movie was going to be, okay, this is what the movie will be. They are going to spend a significant amount of time trying to rally everybody together after the snap. They're going to spend a significant amount of time coming up with a plan to find and battle Thanos. And this time with a plan, we will get something that finally, after a struggle, looks like the first 15 minutes where they wrap him up and they get the gauntlet and they finally do it. And then they get the gauntlet and they go back in time to like right before, like maybe it's the head thing. I don't know. But we wrap this up and Vision's okay and Gamora's here and every, you know, and they just
go. It's the scene at the end of X-Men Days of Future Past where Wolverine just opens the door and everybody's okay.
And everybody's fine. And they went, no, this, to have it hit you, this movie, these movies, this franchise it has consequences.
Yeah.
There are repercussions to this. Well, Thanos didn't win, but there were prices
yeah.
paid.
Yeah. The biggest thing about this movie is it doesn't feel like the finale to a movie franchise. It feels like the finale to a season. And I am so excited for Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because that's the real season finale of this phase. And that's going to have the holy shit moment that's going to lead us into phase four.
Yeah, I'm super duper, just for Spider-Man in general, I love that character. Tom Holland does a stupendous job with it. And just, you know, it's the culmination of something great. And I mean this when I say it, I think it's better than the Star Wars franchise. I think it's better than the Indiana.
World's better.
I think it's better than the Indiana Jones franchise. Yeah. I think it's better than the Star Trek franchise.
I have a bone to pick about the Indiana Jones franchise. Indiana Jones is inconsequential in the first movie.
Yeah, Indiana Jones is only has three movies.
Yeah. We definitely don't count the fifth one.
Right.
There's fourth. Five? Fourth. There's only three.
The newer one wasn't there, number five?
No, it was four.
Or was it four?
Yeah, the one with Shia LaBeouf.
Raiders.
Yeah.
Crusade.
Yeah.
And
Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of my box set because I think it has an extra disc for special features.
Yeah, probably. The annoying part about that, the first movie, is that Indiana Jones is inconsequential. Those Nazis, maybe it would have taken them longer to find the Ark because they were digging left when they should have dug right, but they would have dug right eventually.
Yeah.
And then they still would have went to that island to open it because they didn't want to have them open up with Hitler.
And why is his dad so weirdly Scottish?
Junior.
Yeah.
What? Did anybody really expect Indiana? All of a sudden it's like, oh, did you guys know that Indiana Jones is first generation from a very, very Scottish dad?
And doesn't have an accent at all?
And his dad, a guy from Scotland, and I mean, it sounds like recently, named his kid Indiana.
Yeah. He really liked Indiana.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like his dad was an old cowboy, like I think we all envisioned in our heads.
Yeah.
It's like, nope. It's like, you know what? I like this. I landed here in Indianapolis, and I think that's beautiful. I'll call you Indy.
Yeah.
I was James Bond, even though I'm supposed to be from England. But no black guys.
Yeah.
That's the rules.
Idris Elba.
What are your thoughts on James Bond just being a code name? Because that's what I think it is.
Makes
all the sense in the world.
I feel like that makes the most sense based on...
It's better that way.
It makes the most sense based on the films we got with... what's his name? Daniel Craig.
It's also this, like... and this is completely okay, as we really do wrap it up. One of the things about Austin Powers, right? Because Austin Powers is a really great parody movie about James Bond. But something that makes you think is Austin Powers is a over-the-top, because it's a parody movie, but he's a world-famous secret agent, right? So the idea that in the world there'd be the idea that's like, oh, yeah, James Bond, world-famous agent James Bond. Yeah. It's like... Yeah, no, that would have to be a code name.
I always wondered, because I think Austin Powers is actually a world-famous photographer, because he was like he was basically what's the guy that painted the
suit? But like they know
cans?
He's a secret agent. Like he will, they'll like, that's...
I feel, well, because who's the guy that painted the soup cans?
Andy Warhol.
Warhol. Yes. I feel like he was supposed to be like a sexy Andy Warhol.
But I think that it was like absolutely public knowledge that he was a secret agent.
Yeah, I think for the support of the movie, of course.
Right, yeah. And I think the tongue-in-cheek part was that, like, wow, this secret agent James Bond sure is famous.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And that would just explain that. But Endgame is terrific. It's not the movie I wrote in my head, and I adored it, which is what I just encourage people online and in the world to do anyway, which is like, watch the movie they made, because you didn't make one, and appreciate it for what it is, not for what you know what I mean? And like, it's not perfect. Like I said, I wish Thor had snapped out of it about 45 minutes before whatever. But I enjoyed the hell out of it. It could have been an extra hour. I would have sat there pleasantly. I want to see it again. It was terrific, and I can't wait to see what's next. What are your closing thoughts on Avengers Endgame?
It's a great closing to the movie. I'm very excited to see where the cinematic universe goes next, because we're not done. I think Spider-Man Far From Home is going to not be great. Not in terms of like it's going to be a bad movie. It's not going to be this type of event film, but it's going to kick off for what the next one will be.
It'll be a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal in it, for better or worse.
Yeah. Well, that's the part that I don't think anybody, like, we definitely didn't talk about it. I'm going to make this point and then we're going to be done. But these movies were at an 8, right? Like, consistently, these movies were at an 8. They were great. Then Infinity War comes out, and that's a 9.5. And I think this movie, Avengers Endgame, hits it at a 10.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's I think they're both 9.5s, because I think Infinity War accomplished more with what it had to do.
Sure, yeah. And as somebody who's a Marvel fan for about 2 years now, and having seen all the movies, this, like, it, watching everything get paid off really hit home for me, and I give it a 15 out of 10.
Oh, personally. It's terrific.
I had such a good time. I cannot wait to see it like 4 more times before it's out of theaters.
And believe me, I really do raise these points just for the sake of having a discussion, and not just because radio's not fun when it's 45 minutes of, wasn't that so cool? Yeah, it was great. Oh, it was awesome. It was even better than awesome. It was terrific awesome. But it was fantastic. If you haven't seen it yet, ruined it. But go anyway.
Don't listen to this.
And then it's too late now. For some reason you listen,
tune in at 56 minute mark.
Yeah, if you listen to the last 3 minutes of this for advice to see if you should listen to the first 55, that's a weird choice. But thank you very much.
I'm gonna make it very clear to not listen to this.
We're gonna be streaming, as we said, by the summer. Our goal is to be streaming every Thursday. And now that we've got a Nintendo Switch in house, you can still vote on what game you want me to play first. Looks like Breath of the Wild is winning. I did just get Mortal Kombat, so we can play that live with you. We'll be streaming on Thursdays. You know where to find us on Wednesdays. Subscribe. Tell your friends to follow. If you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe using Twitch Prime for free. It's super easy. Jeff Bezos doesn't need your money. We do. Twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. We love you. We'll see you very soon. Enjoy the end game. Thanos out.
We out.